And I remember at that time I was probably 16 years old. I was young, I was strong, and he came to me with tears in his eyes. And he said to me, "Son, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the things that I've done before you, in front of you. You see me do this and that." He said, "I'm sorry."
Staigute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Have you ever been set free from the weight of sin and shame? It's possible, my friend, and that's something that today's storyteller experienced firsthand in a powerful way.
My name is Gary Quickwish. I come from Round Lake, Ontario. It's often called Wiagamaw these days. And I come from the North Caribou Lake Band of people. I come from a family of 13 children. What took place in 1973 was a miracle, how the Lord delivered me from the bondage of sin. I still, to this day, relive the moment of salvation 40 years later. And I thank God for His mercy, for His grace, for His love, for His provision, for His presence in my life, even to this day. As I said earlier, I come from a family of 13 children. In those early years up in North Caribou, we had a pretty rough time. My dad left my mom in those early years. What happened was in 1952-53, missionaries of the Northern Canada Evangelical Mission came to Round Lake. A missionary by the name of Cliff McComb came over there. And the whole village, practically, probably about 95% of the village, were saved. The first church elders were converted shaman, converted medicine men. My mother was saved during that year. I may have been in my mother's womb when my mother got saved. I've never seen my mother drink or curse or take drugs. She always lived for God. I remember her as a praying woman. She wouldn't pray these short prayers. Prayers like rub-a-dub-dub, bless this grub kind of prayer. But she would pray, 2 hours, 3 hours per day. When my mother became a Christian, my father left my mom. There may have been other reasons. One of the main reasons why he left mom was her conversion. My father was in the traditional path, the red path, and he couldn't stay in the same house. I know, growing up later, realized that my father left my mother for another woman. But that really caused hardship in my mother in raising us. But she prayed. She went to church and participated in the church activities. In 1970, my father became a Christian. And my mother had prayed much for him and loved him. And she even led the woman my father was living with, was in relationship with. She led that lady to the Lord. The lady bore two boys for my dad. And when the babies were born, the mother came and brought the babies to my mother and said to her, "These are your husband's babies. You take care of them." And my mother raised them. My mother loved them and cared for these kids until they were about 8 or 10 years old. And the mother came back and took the boys one at a time and broke my mother's heart. And that was what I saw in my mother who walked with the Lord. I also saw what Satan can do to a person. Any person who's blinded by sin. And that person, for me, was my father. And he lived a life of violence and a lot of anger. My father, as I said, became a Christian. And I remember at that time I was probably 16 years old. I was young, I was strong, and he came to me with tears in his eyes. And he said to me, "Son, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the things that I've done before you, in front of you. You see me do this and that." He said, "I'm sorry." And that really burned me with a lot of anger. At the time, I was strong enough to physically fight him. But his words were very penetrating, very powerful, very real. It was in 72, 73, when I was sent to the residential school called Sterling Lake. The school was called Wabin Bay Academy. It was there that Albert Tate, the late Albert Tate, a missionary to the Indians, First Nations people, came and did some special meetings. And that one night, he came to our room. There were four of us in that room called the White House. And Albert came in there and read scripture to us. And the verse he read was John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, while he was talking, we teased him, we mocked him. We had no interest in what he was sharing. But when he spoke of this message, you can tell he really believed it. I had an old cheap camera, Kodak camera, with a flash on it. No film in it, just a flash, and I'd flash the flash into his eyes, and he couldn't see for a moment, and we'd laugh at him. Finally, he left, and as he was leaving, he says, "I'll pray for yous." And when Albert prayed, something very powerful happened. You know, when Albert prayed and spoke with God, God came into that room. So great was the presence of God that we fell to the floor. There was Jake Strang. There was Dennis Agashi. There was myself. I recall so completely overcome with conviction. I was lost in sin. I had no hope. There is nothing that could be done to save me. And as I gathered myself together, I realized that I was on the floor. So great was the presence of God, I thought we were going to die. So heavy was the load of sin, crushing the heavy load on my back. I couldn't even speak. Couldn't even lift up my eyes. God was in there. I begged for mercy. I don't know what words I said, but God heard me. You see, in those days, I couldn't talk. I stuttered. I couldn't even say my name. But I asked God to save me. I understood right there and then what Jesus, who Jesus was, why he came to this earth, why he was on the cross, why he was crucified, why his body was broken. I understood. It all became clear. And God touched me that day. And I got up from the floor. Jake Strine got up too. Dana Shigashi got up. We were so relieved that God touched us, saved us. And Albert thought this was all a show, this was all a joke. And he walked out, leaving us. And we barely caught him. And he stopped and came in. And he shared with us, once again, God sending his son into this world to save sinners. And we were chief of sinners. That we needed to ask Jesus to be our Savior. And he read verses to us, and he led us in a sinner's prayer. What a glorious experience. All my burdens were gone.
That's quite a story. How about you, my friend? Have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Do you know what it's like to have all your sins forgiven by God? That's why he sent Jesus, to save us from the judgment we all deserve, to forgive us of wrongdoing, and to bring us into his family forever. The Bible tells us that there is a time coming when everyone will bow their knee to Jesus Christ. We can humble ourselves now like Gary did, or wait till it's too late. Won't you trust him now? God tells us in his word, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would you like to know more? Write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also online at withoutreservation.com and at facebook.com/withoutreservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Gary's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.